This Monday.com ad was created by a team of people and AI agents. The agents wrote the copy and managed the timelines, while our human creative director made sure it all made sense. Easy. Create your own AI agent today on Monday.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 9:32 on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Quincy Avery going to be joining us here in a couple of minutes on ESPN 97.5. He's the president of quarterback takeover, Deshaun Watson's personal quarterback coach. He's in the greater Atlanta area, but he's all over the country now. He's got over 150 top NFL people, NFL college and high school quarterbacks. And so he knows the position, and he's done unbelievable things already. And so he's joining us here on ESPN 97.5. Quincy Avery, president, quarterback takeover. Quincy, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Man, we appreciate you being here with us. Obviously, Deshaun, first and foremost here in the city of Houston, maybe you could help us out a little bit with this. Losing Fuller, losing Stills, losing Cobb. With all of these young receivers, Quincy, you think he's going to – how long is it going to take him to get on the same page with the Steven Mitchells and the Isaiah Coulters?
It's going to be interesting to see. I think that he'll be able to figure it out pretty quickly. I think Kiki's going to be stepping up, and he's been doing a good job. So they're going to figure it out real quickly. I think Deshaun's been playing as well as he's ever played, so they're in a really good spot.
Yeah, it's interesting with Deshaun because you and I, you know, one of the things I really respect about you, I have to deal with people all the time who are trainers for NFL hopefuls and prospects. And you're one of those guys who I don't have to worry about you blowing smoke. You'll say what you see. I mean, because there's nothing wrong with the truth. I always believe, like, whatever the truth is, the truth is. If a quarterback needs to work with more anticipation, then you say that. And, you know, one of the things you mentioned about Deshaun on our podcast when I had you on with, on Off Script was that Deshaun missed his responsibility in that Buffalo game. He turned what could have been a disaster into an incredible highlight reel play. And you talked about the fact that those things are not getting to him like they were anymore. You're starting to see those progressions in Deshaun as a guy who understands blitz pickups and getting himself protected.
Yeah, I think that's the best part about seeing somebody's maturation like this, is seeing them go through the growing pains. The great part about Deshaun is, like, when he didn't have it all or hadn't had all the reps or hadn't seen everything that a defense had to offer, he was still Superman, and he could get them out of bad situations. But now it's like he knows exactly what you're going to do. He's got the answers already in his head, and he's ready to anticipate whatever you throw at him. So it's so cool to see him now dominate in the way that he's dominating. And what I mean by that is he's throwing on time with anticipation. He's making the right reads, and he's getting the stuff early. We don't see a ton of the scramble superhero plays. Like, he'll do that at the goal line when nobody's open, but in the middle of the field, 20-20, he's playing as good as anybody just from the pocket, from a mental standpoint.
Well, I'm Quincy Avery with us here on ESPN 97.5. I'm a little worried about that without these guys now, without getting the separation early, without the speed that he had before with Fuller and Cook and with Cobb and Stills, that these guys aren't going to separate in a hurry, that we may see Deshaun having to do more of that improvisation because these guys aren't going to separate early.
You know, I understand. I could definitely see that. But I think that teams are probably going to tilt their coverage a bit to Cooks, right? So that's going to happen. But I think that that puts someone like Kiki in a situation where they can really do well. And they're going to go – I'm sure they're going to start using their tight ends in a way that allows those guys to be dominant up front. The only thing that's going to be really stressful on them, in my opinion, is just their ability to run the ball. When you can't do that, it gets really hard on the guys outside. So we may see Deshaun do a little bit more with his legs, but he's talented enough to do that and carry him in that way.
Do you have a feeling, you watch the tape on these games, you of course have a relationship with Deshaun, but you actually, you know, you put the time in to see what's going on. Do you see a difference in how the games are being called between what OB did and what Tim Kelly is doing right now? Or is it really more about Deshaun just playing a different brand of football? What do you see as a difference right now with how the games are being called or how the execution's working?
So I see a lot more passes in early downs, and then I also see them getting their passes earlier in second and long situations, right? So they've been able to play – they're not playing from behind the sticks as much, and I think that's allowed Deshaun to be more successful. And I think that he was fine when OB was there, but I think that there was a level of – as an OC, when your head coach is an offensive guy, I think it's a little bit tougher – to call a game exactly how you want it. And I think that Tim Kelly now has that freedom, and I think that he's done a really good job, right? We can say we want. Deshaun's playing great, but Tim Kelly has done a really good job in showing that he does have some real value as a play caller.
Quincy Avery with us here on ESPN 97.5. You're talking about, and it's even more amazing, Quincy, what Deshaun is doing this year with zero running game, and he's playing better than ever, and he's still – you know, winning football games lately, and it's just, to me, I don't know how you do it without any running game, and yet Deshaun is getting that job done. But you talk about now, it's 4 years into this thing, and he's better than ever, reading defenses and reacting and everything else. It's going to take a little bit of time because, you know, the game is so much faster at the NFL level. But where was he when he came out of Clemson? Because Lance and I talked about this, is what you know, at some places and some quarterbacks, you don't want to put too much on their plate, especially when they're young. Where was he coming out of Clemson for the NFL?
I think he was pretty prepared, and he still had that special level of talent. Of course, he's not where he is today. I think that they could have put more on him early in his career. Later on in his rookie season, he was playing some really good ball, and all of the second year, he was playing really good. Like, he didn't get a ton of time in his rookie season getting hurt so early, but he was pretty much ready to play in the NFL as soon as he got there. And I wish people would have been more aware of that and said, Deshaun, you kind of figure it out. I think that would have allowed him to be where he is now a little earlier.
How complex was Bill O'Brien versus what Tim Kelly's doing?
In terms of complexity, it's really the same offense. It's just how they're calling it, what are they getting to, and how are you reading it. And I think that they've put more of the onus on Deshaun to kind of figure out how he wants to read things, how he feels comfortable getting to things, and how he sees it.
You know, this is something that I think is an interesting, and I don't know what your thoughts are on this, because you work with a lot of different quarterbacks, and you've worked with a lot of African American quarterbacks, right? And there's always been the stigma about a running quarterback and things like that. But we see Fields as a pocket passer, Haskins pocket passer. There are dual threat quarterbacks, there are running quarterbacks, and there are pocket passers. And really, we're seeing that amongst white quarterbacks, black quarterbacks. It just depends on what the system is in college. I'm kind of curious about your thought, though, because I heard Deshaun, it was 2 or 3 years ago, he kind of bristled at the thought of being a dual-threat quarterback. But I think you should be okay doing what it is that you do to cause the most stress to teams. Like, in other words, it doesn't mean you can't work from the pocket. It means that you are multifaceted. And I think in today's football, especially, being a multifaceted quarterback is really, it's turning into, if you're not a multifaceted quarterback, it's getting harder and harder to be consistently successful unless you have a really good offensive line in front of you in a running game.
Yeah, I think that moving forward, if you're not a mobile quarterback, you won't even get the opportunities to play the position. So we agree there. I just think there was a lot of negative connotation about the term dual threat quarterback,
right,
growing up, or as these guys came through the ranks. Like when Deshaun was in high school, when they labeled you a dual-threat quarterback, that essentially meant you couldn't throw.
Right.
And I think that they still see it that way. I see it that way. Like, I still get frustrated they labeled my guy a dual-threat quarterback, right? He's a pocket passer who has all the ability in the world to run and extend plays, get first down with his legs, do what he did to the Patriots and running somebody over at the goal line. Like, he can do all that. But first and foremost, he can throw from the pocket. I think that was more of the thing that bothered him a little bit about the term. Like, we hear dual threat, and we think that you're saying that we can't do it from the pocket.
Right.
No, like, he's a true
threat. You think that's still
the
case, though? Because I totally agree with you about when Deshaun was in high school, but here we are, 7 years later. I feel like that term has kind of switched and changed because the best quarterbacks in the league have the ability to extend and do all that stuff. Now, I don't know that people call Russell Wilson as dual threat, but no one ever says that. I see what you're saying. Like, no one ever calls Pat Mahomes a dual threat quarterback, but he's a play extender as well. All these guys are play extenders that are great.
Yeah, I wouldn't use a term. I would just be like, how good are you at the quarterback position, right? And I think all of that is compiled in there. Like, how good are you at quarterback? It has to do with how well you can run, how well you can extend plays, how many first downs can you get us with your legs. Like, if I'm literally offensive coordinator now, like, if you can't move, I don't want that job because they can't always be right and get you in great situations where they call the right play. Sometimes you just got to win for us with your legs. So I understand, and I feel more comfortable with the term, but it's something I'm thinking about getting away from altogether. Like, if you can't run, like, we just don't want you anyway.
I mean, we're seeing it right now with Kyle Trask, right? I mean, he's a Heisman candidate, but where is he going to get drafted in the NFL? It's so funny. He would have, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, he'd be the top guy.
Well, I think one of the things you can also look at is Carson Wentz right now. When it was Peters and Lane Johnson, and that was one of the best offensive lines in football, Carson Wentz was a much better quarterback. When the offensive line has struggled, you see a guy like Carson Wentz who it's had a big impact on his game. I really do feel like his game, partially, it's some of it's he's lost his confidence, and I don't know what your thoughts are on that, Quincy, but some of it is when the offensive line doesn't protect you, if you can't work out of that, then you've got problems in the NFL now. You have, whether it's getting the ball out quickly, playing the mental chess game, or whether it's being able to get away from the pressure, it's hard to survive in the NFL without those abilities.
It's nearly impossible. These guys are just too big, too fast. And then when you get caught in situations like that, you find yourself looking at things other than what you're supposed to. And you see Carson Wentz right now, he's struggling because he has such bad eye discipline. He'll find himself looking at the defensive line. He'll find himself looking at the wrong spot in terms of concepts. And he can't get to a good spot where he can throw on time with anticipation. He didn't lose his ability to throw the football. He lost his ability to feel comfortable in the pocket. And I think if he did more in terms of the run game and extending plays and getting out of there, I think he would feel a little bit more comfortable back there.
So I'm going to go Lawrence and then probably Justin Fields, but Zach Wilson is moving up the charts. Tell us about Trey Lance and what where he could go and what you think of him so far.
Trey Lance is going to be a top three quarterback. I think I've had an opportunity to be around all the guys we mentioned in terms of that top-tier quarterback range, and Trey Lance has the skills to lead a team as well as anybody else in this draft class. Like, he's just talented enough to make all the throws, big guy, and he also has the ability to carry a team with his legs. Like, if he had to run the ball as a quarterback, he can do that as well as anybody else. Like, in his in the national championship game, he might have 20-plus carries and literally put a team on his back. And then he also has the ability to make every single throw you could ask for on the football field. He reminds me so much of Deshaun in the way that he throws, his ability to throw with a ton of touch, and also his ability to anticipate things. The one thing that he didn't have that all the other top-end guys had was he didn't have receivers who were running wide open. He didn't have receivers who were creating a ton of separation and then were making catches outside of the frame. Like, he had to do this essentially on his own at the quarterback position. Like, he had a great line, but everywhere else in terms of the skill stuff, he did not have the same benefits as other guys, and he was very, very, very successful.
How much did the lack of games set him back this year?
It didn't set him back in terms of his development as much. I think it set him back in terms of the way people look at it, because you want guys that have 800 snaps at the college level. Like, you just want guys that have taken enough snaps, seen enough things, but the way that he studies, the way that he prepares, and the way that NDSU helped him get ready for the National Football League, like, they do as good a job as anybody making quarterbacks handle a ton of things. He did that, and I think that he'll be ready to really do well when the NFL season starts. He'll come, and he'll be as ready as any other rookie anywhere in the country.
I told John and the listeners about this. I talked to his offense coordinator about him, and he told me the same thing. He just said, look, Trey gets himself protected. He calls his own protections. He doesn't look to the sideline. We don't have our quarterbacks do that. They get themselves protected. He told me what his Monday through Friday film study was, which is, I've never heard of that much preparation for a quarterback. And then he just said when he goes up on, when he goes to the combine and talks to these teams, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, all these guys who have great talent, he goes, this kid is going to be the most impressive because he knows football already. He played football for one full year, and he is incredibly advanced because that's what North Dakota State requires. Full field readers, like, they ask a lot of their quarterbacks, and that's going to be a big advantage too. Hey, before we let you go, Quincy, I got a lot of feedback on the podcast. You can listen to Quincy's journey because I think what Quincy did to hustle his way to what he's doing now is a great story for anybody who has hopes and dreams and aspirations, and that includes, you know, all of us either coming up or at some points of our life have. You know, you either do it or you don't. You can talk about it or be about it. And Quincy's got a great story. But can you just go through a quarterback? Eric Layden asked you this question. What does a quarterback do when he steps to the line of scrimmage? Can you go pre-snap what Deshaun Watson has to go through pre-snap before a ball's even snapped for the Texans?
Yeah, so the first thing he's going to do is he's going to get the play call, right? We're going to walk in the huddle. We announce the play to the guys. We're going to do that twice. As we walk to the line of scrimmage, first thing we got to make sure is that is all of our team in the right situation. Then we got to identify the safeties, right? So what are they doing defensively? Where is their safety rotation? Then we got to take it into the box. Cool. Where is the front, right? Are they over, under front? Where can I get pressure? Oh, they're in an under front, and they got a Colt look. Oh, we're probably getting strong side pressure. But if we're good there, cool. Now we got to get to our protection. How am I going to protect myself? Where am I turning the line to? Is it going to be a weak protection? Is it going to be a strong protection? Are we going two down and we're sliding to the right? So cool. Now let's say we're just running drive, right? We're going to be in a 2x2 formation. We're going to run drive. So what I want to do is I want to make my man side the left side, and I want to slide the protection to the right because I have a shallow cross coming to the right. My tight end is going to run an arc release basic or in route at 10 to 12 yards. My left side, my X is going to be running an outside mandatory release. My slot guy is going to be running 12 to 15 yard lazy out into my back. He's going to be check protecting. He's checking Mike to Will, and he's going to be running a crosser at about 4 yards. So first thing I got to look for, am I hot? No, I'm not hot. Okay, cool. Then my eyes go to the left. I'm seeing the sail. What is my weak side curl flat defender doing? Is he sinking back, taking away that sail? Okay, fine. Then I take my eyes directly to... Then I take my eyes directly to the shallow cross. Okay, did the Mike work with him? He did. Okay, now I got to get to the basic. Did my Sam sink and cover that? Oh, he did? Then I got to get to my check down. But we're doing all this in a matter of, from the time we walk to the line of scrimmage to the way that play is executed, you got about 15 seconds.
And that's just, and I, you know what I didn't even throw? What if there's a late add into the box? What if a safety drops into the box and all of a sudden you see what looks like a cover, you see what looks like a split safety look. All of a sudden, you start to see safety roll into a cover one or even a cover three look, and so your coverages have then changed. Now things, and now
Jamal
you got
Adams, hit, and he's coming.
Now you
got to
hit reset on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then I had to go easy, easy, easy. Hey, we got to re-mic this thing because now I got strong rotation. I got to bring it one.
Time out. This is what I do, Quincy. Time out. Time out. Yeah. Let's go to the run. Here's what I'm doing. Check 26 razor, and I'm just checking to a run. No, yeah. Thanks.
Yeah,
my wife's listening right now. She said, because she loved hearing Quincy's podcast. She goes, I don't know anything about Quincy Avery, and I love listening to that podcast. She's listening now. She goes, I love hearing this again because we did that with Quincy the first time. But it really does go to show you there is so – when you talk about a quarterback needing to process, it's true. It's hard to be a guy who's not mentally sharp and quick and can't play chess. And I know, Quincy, you're into the chess stuff as well. I'm sure you watch – You watch Queen's Gambit, which is great. But playing chess is a major, major deal. Well, and, that's what you're doing.
Well, and not only that, at this NFL speed,
yeah,
that you're doing it at,
exactly.
With how fast those guys are. That's why. That's the whole thing, isn't it? I mean, they're doing some great stuff in college too. But when you kick it up, you know, three times as fast at the NFL level, it's no wonder guys take some time. Which makes it even more amazing what Mahomes has done, isn't it, Quincy? How quickly he adapted to the NFL game and became as good as he is?
Yeah, he had the benefit of him being really talented and some really good coaches who gave him the ability to have some really good mental processes. And that's what I'm all about. Like, what is your process when you come to the line of scrimmage? Like, how can you get all that information and make it very, very simple for yourself that you can be successful and see and chunk a lot of information so that it becomes easy for you to go and just react, see things, and play fast?
Absolutely. Quincy Avery, he is it's quarterback takeover. And, man, you got what a great job you've done and how many guys you've gotten, the success that you've had so far.
For fans who have football teams that need quarterback, not the Texans, but – are you locked in on some quarterbacks this year that you can talk about who you'll be working with pre-draft?
Yeah, I'm working with Trey Lance. I'm working with Jamie Newman. I got 2 to 3 others that I'm probably going to add, but I'll wait till they commit and get down here before I say anything about those guys. But we're going to have some good ones, and I think you'll be happy if you get any of the guys that we're working with.
Is there any quarterback coach beef between you and, like, Jordan Palmer, Whitfield, Clarkson? There's like 4 or 5 of you guys developing. I'm wondering, because you're starting to come up and take some guys. Is there beef developing?
Man, I don't got any beef with anybody. They might have a little, you know, nose up in the air at me, but we're good.
If it was an arm wrestling contest between all of you, who would win?
I would win any physical form of competition between me and any of the other quarterback coaches,
right,
whatever that competition is.
Right.
It's on record now.
That's it. He said it.
There's no, he said it. He meant it. And he will represent it.
We got receipts. That's it. Hey, Quincy.
Write it down.
Thanks so much, man. We appreciate it. That's great stuff. Thanks for hanging with us here.
All right. Appreciate you guys.
Okay. Right, thanks, Quincy. Hey, when we come back, Lance beat it. When we come back, it's going to be Beat the Limo Guy right here on ESPN. We're going to combine some breaks here.
Beat the Limo Guy.
Beat the Limo Guy. That's right. Beat it and Beat the Limo Guy next right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.